Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks to being a part of this today. Digesting quite a weekend. It's a hell of a place that Chicago sports find themselves right now. There's one team that was supposed to be good that's bad, one team that's supposed to be bad that's bad, a football team that we want to be good that's bad, and a basketball team that's good but has no real way to be great, and a hockey team that is impossible to root for because they aided and abetted a sexual predator. Other than that, everything's going awesome.
I got a 3-day Bears minicamp that I'm focused on right now.
Yeah,
Dan.
You should be.
Don't. Why did you just ruin it? I was looking forward to it.
I was
talking to Campy in the hallway about it.
Yeah.
Got 3 days of continuing to attempt to crack the early codes of Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles and Luke Getsy and the rest of the crew.
Yeah, I'm just saying,
don't
though.
Ruin it for me, Dan. This is all I have.
Yeah, it can still be a fulfilling experience for you to cover it. I'm just saying, they're not going to be any good.
Yeah, but they're interesting. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Like, if we are talking about the Bears, and I didn't necessarily intend to talk about the Bears, but here we are. The Bears are very interesting. They are fascinating just because of what we have no idea of. It's not a great reason to be fascinating, because most of it is just kind of, if you're a Bears fan, I picture Bears fans just kind of sitting back with their arms folded, one arm out, the foot kind of tapping like, okay, what do you got for us this time? Like, we've been hurt before. We've had new regimes before. The hope of Phil Emery.
But we're doing
the
it again.
Of
it doesn't,
Ryan Pace.
But it doesn't mean we're not doing it again.
I know. Well,
this is the new regime doing its thing.
That's why I'm indicating the skepticism with the pose that I just tried to put in everybody's imaginations.
Those other regimes.
Yes.
Didn't have the hits principle.
They did not. They had other principles.
Not quite like this one.
No, that's true, but I don't know. I would have to say that Mark Trestman seemed to, although he did never use an acronym that I know of, he had weird ways about him
he
in terms of
toolbox of concepts.
And he wanted certain people next to certain people in
the
locker room. The man needed to be grown, and he just thought that he was going to be, like, they were going to just follow his cerebrum.
We're going to have a team that's selfish and undisciplined.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even remember if that was part of his regime. No, that was actually part of the Matt Nagy regime, the one where they were undisciplined and Javon Wims was allowed to act a fool whenever he felt like it.
And Anthony Miller. And that leads us to why Matt Eberflus got the job, because he's going to instill a sense of discipline with his deployment of the magical hits principle.
Yes, and there has been chaos within. There has been a problem with the hits principle. It has been compromised with what happened last week.
I don't think so.
I think they've doubled down on it.
I think they're thumbing their nose at the league that can't contain them because of it.
But they've had to use their first argument. Because if you are really employing the hits principle, you have to anticipate that this could happen. So what they put, now that I'm rethinking this, maybe Matt Eberflus was not prepared, not told to go out there and do what he did. He just knew, because that's part of the hits principle playbook. You've got to have an emergency plan. That was just phase one. Now, if there's another problem, phase two ought to be interesting. You know, maybe that's all three coaches come out and answer for the hits principle.
Maybe you have to add something to it. Maybe there's something.
There
could be something you put at the beginning. There could be something. There could be a way to reformulate the hits principle.
What would be at the beginning? What could plausibly be at the beginning of the hits principle?
Place, not that talent level.
Right. Yeah, there's no question about it.
That? of all the things. Like, now I want to know what's in the mind of Mike
Can I give you, I get it. Can I give you two things I didn't get to that I wanted to get to today?
Please.
And I know we're going to jump out of it tomorrow. Did what they showed on Marquee on Friday with Chris Morrell fist bumping the umpire before the game? Did you see that?
I did not see that.
He went out there and he says, he's like, hey, catcher. Hey, umpire.
Oh, man.
And he's just so happy.
Yeah, that's what he does.
And,
he,
the ump is like, in between, like, do I fist bump a player before the hitter before the game starts? Like, this is weird.
Talk about compromising.
But he did, and apparently he'd never, no one had ever tried to do that before. That's just his natural sort of ebullient nature.
He's got a smiley face emoji on his mitt. That's all you need to know. That, seriously, did you know that?
But that really wasn't, okay, this is apparently a true story.
Okay.
Joe Madden, you heard this?
No, all you said so far is true story Joe Madden. Doesn't sound familiar yet.
Apparently, Joe Madden got a mohawk.
Sick!
He got a mohawk.
Just recently, you're talking about. Yeah.
Wait. Shot and a chaser here.
Okay.
Joe Madden, he got a mohawk ostensibly to either break the tension with his team, motivate his team, long losing streak, to go in there and be like, look, this is how far I'm going to go to get us out of this. Unfortunately, before he could go into the clubhouse to show off his new wacky mohawk, he was fired.
Oh, that I had not heard, and that is god awful.
It's so cute.
But he goes in there. Do you think he's? Do you think he's showing? Well, there's two. Let's just say there's two gentlemen in suits that are participating in the human resources followed firing of Joe Madden. So that is Joe Madden then in there with whatever he's wearing to the ballpark and the mohawk with no hat on?
I don't know.
I mean, love the optics of that.
Like, or if you have to deliver the news, I don't know if they have him come to the park, or I imagine the GM, is it Billy Appler? Now, whatever, goes to Madden's place and knocks on the door, and Ben's getting all ready. He's going to go in that day, and he's going to go in and see his guys. And he's like, look what he's done. And the door opens, and there he is.
Oh. Hey, who actually feels worse in that scenario or more uncomfortable? Is it Joe Madden?
Hey, Skip.
Because he did something that he for nothing? Or the gentlemen at the door who are like, oh, God, what did he do? Please don't tell me he did this for the sake of this team, because today we got to fire him.
Oh, yeah. I wish you would have
felt worse.
Asked us beforehand.
This is really awkward.
I hate to do this, Joe, but
love you.
Right? It's
you know, we think you're a great guy. You know that, right?
So you went and got a mohawk.
You know you're good.
Motivate the team.
You know you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, right, Joe? You know that, right? Like what you did with the Cubs and what you did here. We love you, and that's it. We're gonna have to let you go. And hey, thanks for the mohawk, too, while we're at it.
Hey, nice mohawk.
What's the mohawk? Joe probably was, oh, man, I don't know. This is just something I was working on.
I'm just feeling it, you know? Yeah.
Joe is probably the most prepared, though, to make the best of the mohawk. You know what I mean? he in his life, he's actually the only manager I could think of that would actually do something like that.
Is it still okay to call it a mohawk, or is that culturally appropriate?
Ooh, I never even thought about that. I just learned about a neighborhood in Chicago that I can't call it anymore because it's culturally inappropriate.
Really?
Yeah. The Halstead area, not near.
Oh, Blanktown?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, not anymore.
Learned that yesterday.
Yep.
From a person who is gay. And I did not realize that. So hopefully you're connecting the dots.
Yes.
That you cannot say hey, don't say that anymore.
Yes.
It is inappropriate.
Yes. The tell would be that there are rainbow colored phallic obelisks on the street. Celebratory obelisks.
I think they had it at Halstead, actually.
In this part of town.
Yeah.
And we live right there, and there's all sorts of wonderful restaurants, but it's not what it used to be called.
Right.
That's not okay.
Pride Parade. I've been to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. Yes. That is what I have learned, and I didn't know.
So I guess Mohawk is okay.
Mohawk is okay?
As far as we know.
I hadn't even thought about it.
I lived on Mohawk here in Chicago at one point.
Did you really?
Yeah, Mohawk Street.
Where?
Great little area.
Where's that, Dan?
Old Town.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like, that's one town I've not lived in
like
this
Wisconsin,
city.
Wisconsin, Larrabee in there.
Okay. Yeah, that's one that I've lived in a lot of neighborhoods. Roscoe Village, Lincoln Park, Streeterville. But that is one that is a blind – well, not really a blind spot because I've been there plenty of times.
It's a great apartment. So yeah. Such a great apartment there. Yeah, I miss that area.
Old Town's great. Roscoe, do you ever live in Roscoe Village?
I kind of do
Roscoe?
Now.
Oh, yeah, you kind of do now.
Yeah, technically I'm in North Center.
Yeah, I remember that one time I ran into you.
Well, you were wondering. I thought you were casing the neighborhood. It's like, why is Grody in front of our house?
The call, yeah, I was because I was near the WGN television studios. If you need the real answer, but I can imagine it did look odd. Why is Mark Grody walking around?
Well, that's why I always laugh when Tom Skilling is out on the weather patio.
Not the
weather patio.
Do you call the kids? Kids, come here.
Don't get in the shot from the weather patio. Yeah. Also meaning on the lawn in front of the studio. I love how they call it the weather patio.
That's great.
Well, what is it can also be the sports patio. But that's a different. That must be the. That's about 30 feet that way. The sports patio.
Yeah, that's wacky. That one.
Yep.
I love it. The patio motif of a newsroom that they go with.
We're
that.
Out here on the weather patio.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're not action center. We're patios, right. Yo. Right. That's what we got going on up in this.
You have to be holding a frilly drink or something out there.
By the way, I so badly wanted to jump in on your conversation that you were having about Shaquille O'Neal as it pertains to Pat Hughes discussing Shaquille O'Neal yesterday on the radio. And you talked about your experiences with Shaquille O'Neal. I had a wonderful one-on-one experience with Shaquille O'Neal.
Really?
This is when...
Not actual one-on-one, like playing.
No, with the microphone.
That would have gone badly for you.
Yeah, so this is, I forget the year, but Shaquille O'Neal is probably about, he's getting older. He's getting 36. Okay. Miami Heat. Okay, this is Miami Heat, Shaquille O'Neal. It's a shoot-around. And as you know, Dan, from covering the Bulls in this town, oftentimes you go to the shoot-around for the visiting team, too, because it's something of prominence. Sure. Or there's somebody you want to talk to. It's usually very good access, like because you don't have as many reporters.
Absolute favorite time to cover the NBA playoffs was shoot-around.
Oh, it's so great. Oh, it's so laid back. Access is easier. You could procure your own guys a lot of the time.
There's Pat Riley. Want to go hang out with Pat Riley and talk basketball for a little bit?
I remember going to the shoot-around for Jordan when he was with the Wizards, and it was a spectacle. But even afterwards, Jordan wasn't hustled out. He just went over and sat on the bench on the other side and with just maybe a couple people around him. So, yeah, there is an access that reporters can get that is typically better. So I had that with Shaquille O'Neal, that he was just kind of wandering around, and I went up to him, and I must not have introduced myself to him, because right away, he, like I said, hey, you got a minute to talk, and he looks at my badge, he goes, oh, hey, you Mark Grothe? I go, no, actually, it's Mark Grody. He goes, I don't think so. He goes, you're Mark Grothe. I go, okay.
Okay, all right then.
I'm Mark Grothe.
It's okay, Shaquille.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So my plan going into the interview was to do something on today. Hey, Shaquille O'Neal, you're good, but you kind of lost the step. You know, that was what I was going in.
Enjoy.
With. Yeah, right. So this is my first. I might have warmed them up with an easier question, but then I said, hey, you know, some people say you're starting to lose a step. You're not the same player you once were. And he looks at me and goes, I don't know, Mark Grothe. He goes, you look like you lost step two.
Good for him. Well, it's better than what Ryan Sandberg said to me when he came. Remember the Cubs comeback when he came out of retirement?
Oh, yeah.
To play for the Cubs.
Yeah, of course.
And I was asking him about his range. And because we were just like sitting next to his locker. And I said something. I should bring this up to him again because he probably doesn't remember it. But I said something. I said, do you have to make any adjustments now as far as anticipating where a ball is hit since you've come back at your age to make adjustments for your range? Like, are you saying my range isn't what it was?
Ooh.
And I said, I basically was like, yeah. It definitely isn't what it was in your prime.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Not sorry. Sorry. Yes.
Right. I'm like, I wasn't comparing like most recent Ryan Sam, probably similar to that. But I'm saying over time, everyone has to make these changes. And he ended up giving me a pretty decent answer. But I'm like, that's obviously what I'm saying. And
of course
it's true.
Yeah, it happens. But that is a, like, there's two things that athletes, I think, have to deal with that they don't want to deal with. The proverbial losing of a step, it happens, but it's a crisis moment. It's like a midlife crisis for an athlete. It's like, okay, it's happened, you know, just like you or I lose hair or turn gray or whatever the case. Yep, there it is. Now I've just got to make my adjustment. I don't want to hear about it. And then when they hear about it, they're like, ah, it's a very sensitive topic. It's a player's midlife crisis. But luckily, Shaq was playful about it, and he eventually gave me the answers that I was looking for. Ryan Sandberg, though, he'll get you some Verilife, though. He'll hook you up.
Yeah, he's happy now,
yeah.
Right?
All good.
I love it.
It's so great. There's cutouts of him in places. He's got his suggestions. What brands, you know?
He should have had that, like, going back in the day. Like, how much of, he would just been a better talker.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that, yeah, Ryan Sandberg's an interesting guy because he falls in the category of sort of who would have thought that he would be as public of a figure as he has turned into with what he has done with the Cubs, what he did with post games on The Score that I hosted with him, mm-hmm. trying to be a little bit more part of marquee because he was I didn't cover him, but I
hosted a sponsor like symposium that he did here in the Performance Center, the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Center, where he was answering questions and telling stories. I would never have thought he would do that.
Right, exactly. And so I think that sometimes there are guys that sort of regret how serious they were in when they played and kind of want to leave a different impression with. I feel like some of that's Ryan Sandberg. And I know that his first goal was to be a manager, and he probably would have been happy if he was still managing to this date, whether it for the Cubs, Phillies, or somebody else.
There's a life-size bobblehead of him at the Schaumburg Verilife.
Really?
That's a little weird.
Does he have his picks for the day? What's your pick to click today?
It's a sativa hybrid.
Yeah, maybe a hybrid. Yeah, let's get a hybrid.
A high level of CBD for some anti-inflammatory properties.
Yeah, it's a Monday, too, so you want that little extra boost. So maybe a little flour mixed in there, too. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like the way you think there.
Yeah, yeah. See? Just trying to direct your day, Dan. That's all.
Oh, I got too much day left for that.
My God. The game yesterday. What are you laughing at? I'd rather follow that lead. Why are there giggles? Why do you have the giggles?
I don't know.
Do you need some Cheetos or something? What's going on, man?
Oh, I could always have, just as long as they're crunchy and not puffs.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Crunchies. Yes.
Puffs are fascist.
Yeah. Well, I don't dislike the puffs, but I much prefer the crunch. The
puffs are all identical. That's weird. That's creepy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't think of it that way. I thought you just meant the actual flavor.
No, they're right. The flavor's the same.
Interesting.
It's all about texture.
Oh, so they're
identical.
Oh, I never knew that was an issue. Is that a problem?
Because look at it. It's weird.
That is.
Cheetos should all look different. You should pull a weird one out of there. You never know, and there should be a randomness to them.
The cheese puffs are
all extruded.
The same.
It's like the difference between hand cut fries and extruded fries.
Interesting.
Okay. I mean, like the ones.
I don't know that makes them less quality necessarily.
They're different. They're completely different product.
Yeah. No, they are. I agree with that. Like, I'm ready for that conversation for sure. And I don't. Again, I don't dislike the puffs. I just prefer the heavier. Like, if somebody that is not something I would probably ever buy in my life, but if they are presented, if they are somewhere, I would. Yes, I would indulge in the puffs. I wouldn't be an elitist. Like, apparently, it looks like you are when it comes.
I don't
to
know.
Cheese puffs.
No, Cheetos are individualist. The actual bag of a Cheetos bag is small because they're dense.
Yeah,
and it's the same price. If you look at the size of a puffs bag,
right,
it's massive. Like this big.
They don't have the small puffs bags.
They can.
Snack size.
They can't because of the weight. Like, if you're going to give the same amount, it looks like a party size bag, but it's all air. So all it is, if you like eating air,
yeah,
get the puffs.
Oh my God, so, I don't know. Well, the cheese high does it for me. I might be getting foiled in the end, but the powder, there's heavier powder on the puffs. No,
I don't know. I don't know.
You get messier from them.
Do you?
Is it because they're bigger? Maybe that's
more
why
surface area.
Yeah. I mean, I think you get messier from the The puffs?
I don't know.
I always thought so. It's been a while for the. I might have to experiment in a bag of puffs.
I mean, that could be dinner, like a nice can of chili and a half a bag of Cheetos.
Wow.
A can of Wolf brand chili.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wolf brand with beans. That's the way to go.
Wow.
That's better than Hormel. It's better than any of the others. I discovered it because I bought it randomly, and it might have even been an accident. It's so good.
The Cheeto has become one of those, like, versatile items that we sort of discovered late in life, like the avocado or what's the Brussels sprouts. Like, everybody's got to soak something in Brussels sprouts now.
Wait, you discovered an avocado late in life?
Well, yeah, no, I didn't. I don't think I had a avocado ever in my life until probably I was like 35 or so.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. It was not something that showed up at the Grody household ever.
And it wasn't something you just decided you didn't like that you later figured out you liked?
No, I just, the first time I had them, I realized that I liked them a lot. And it was like, like I said, probably, I'm just guessing. Like, it feels recent.
Yeah, I didn't really have as a child that I wish we had more. I wish it were more ubiquitous at the time because I feel like years of my life missed out on it. Hummus.
Yeah, same. There's another one.
Hummus.
Absolutely. What a versatile food.
One of the great foods ever.
Yeah.
And I just didn't grow up with it. And then you get it like, well, where's this been?
Right.
You know?
Yes. Right.
And I will say this. I screwed up with eggplant because
there's another one.
My mom used to make this, what I now realize was really good fried eggplant. And something in the back of my head decided I didn't like it. And I should have liked it because it was probably objectively good, and I decided I didn't, and then it was something bad, and then later in life I realized it was good and I was wrong, and now I don't get any of that time back, and I don't get those opportunities back.
Yeah, there are definite food regrets that I think exist with all of us, but where did this start? What did this begin
on? Avocado?
No, it was something else, though.
Cheetos puffs?
Your dinner. That's right. It was the versatility of the Cheeto, which has come into fashion, I feel like, because Taco Bell's more the Dorito, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Don't they play out? They riff on the Dorito over at Taco Bell. Yes.
Yeah, you'd think the Doritos Locos Tacos would have more.
Not really, though.
It really doesn't.
I've never had it. Never had it. Okay.
It's fine. I mean, it's fine, but I would prefer, if I'm going to Taco Bell and going absolutely ham on it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do my regular, just 10 hard shell tacos.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen.
That's
do you put a little sauce?
Hot.
A little hot sauce.
It's like just one line.
Amen. You're right. There is still, like,
that's
like,
all I need.
I like trying stuff on their menu, but yeah, if I'm really going in, there is still nothing better than the basic of Taco Bell, and that's a taco.
Somewhere we're making Ryan Sandberg very hungry.
Oh, yeah.
And the bobblehead. The bobblehead is nodding and drooling.
Hey, man. Hey, man, we're all hanging out at Sandy's house today, yo. We're doing it, man. All right.
What you got today?
So we will definitely be talking about the White Sox. We will do that with a regular visitor to the Lawrence Holmes Show. That's James Fegan of The Athletic. I am not sure if we're talking to anybody in regards to the Cubs as of right now. Okay. Are we, Ray? I don't know. Is there anybody signed up yet?
Yeah, Megan Montemurro.
Oh!
She's awesome.
We've got Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune to talk about the Chicago Cubs. And they're it, but did you talk about a Bulls anniversary today, by the way, by any chance?
No.
There's a Bulls anniversary.
Oh, enjoy.
I'm going to talk about later, and I'll tell you what it is off the air. But I want to tease the audience. So that is all coming up. Dan Bernstein, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to talk to you.